time, brother. Hallelujah. 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 So, you know, just after Jesus died on the cross, he came back to life. He went up to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. And his friends, his mates, his disciples that were full of fear were hiding away in this house in the middle of Jerusalem, surrounded by all these people that had just kind of killed their leader. I'd imagine they were quite afraid and quite scared. But when the Holy Spirit came like this rushing wind, it basically blew the windows out. It blew them inside out and filled them with so much courage and power and revelation of truth. And instead of hiding in a little room, they booted the door open and stood on the shelf on this balcony in front of all these people and started preaching the good news to them. And basically this is what they said: "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosening him from the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David said concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he's at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades. Or let your holy ones see corruption. You've made known to me the paths of men, the paths of life, sorry. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David didn't ascend into the heavens, but he himself said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' So let all the house of Israel therefore know," basically every single one of you in front of me, "know this for certain, that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, and this Jesus whom you crucified, that's the one who has done it. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everybody who the Lord God calls to himself.'" So we just pray right now, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that it's through you that men and women and children and everyone on this earth, Lord, can acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, right now for just setting every heart free. God, I just pray right now for your love to just come into this room like an avalanche. God, I just pray right now for all grief and attack and pain, all hardness of heart, Lord, will just be overwhelmed by your love and mercy. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, right now for drawing people to God. You know, this talk tonight is the second talk of what Stewie said of this series: repent, believe, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And last week, obviously, Stewie talked about repenting and what repentance means. And obviously, repentance means changing your mind, changing what you think, just having a different course of action. Change the direction you're going in. And more specifically, repentance in line with God and towards God. Change what you think about God. Change your attitude towards God. So really, change what you think about God. So the question is really, how do we repent? How are we supposed to change our minds towards God? How do we do that? Well, quite simply, we believe. And as we believe what we hear, like they believed, and as we turn round to God, to the truth, as we do that, then we see the truth. And as the Bible says, the truth sets us free. You know, the world says that seeing is believing, and then they can disown God because of it. But I'll tell you what I've come to experience all of my life of God, that with God the opposite is true. And believing is always seeing in the kingdom, always. So all I want to talk to you tonight is about believing, about belief, what it is, what we should believe, and why we should believe. So what is belief? Well, basically, belief is having the confidence in the existence of something, the truth of something, and the reliability of something. Just like this chair. See, I know the truth about this chair because I've read the pamphlet in the back. I haven't really, but I'm no doubt there is one. And I know that this chair can hold all 9 stone of me, okay? I also know this chair exists because I can see it. And I also know the reliability of this chair because I sit down on it and I stand up and I sit down and I know that it won't let me fall down. That's basically what belief is. And we all exercise belief every single day. We exercise belief in things we see, things we hear, all this different stuff. Just like we do with that chair. You know, I remember being in a hospital once, and I don't know why I was there. I took someone, it was A&E, and I remember being sat about 5 rows back, and I saw this paramedic. He was on the front row on the right-hand side, and I remember sitting there thinking, man, I wonder what he's been up to, you know. Wonder who he's brought in. Wonder what kind of heroic things he's done today, you know. I was like really getting into it and interested, and I was expecting some person to walk out absolutely maimed and wounded. You know, I looked at this guy and thought, man, I wonder what he's been up to. And all of a sudden, his name got shouted out. And this paramedic stood up and started hobbling off towards this thing. You know, the reality is, it's like, that wasn't as reliable as that chair was. What I saw in that paramedic actually wasn't the truth. But so he couldn't have done really what I'd put confidence in him to do, whereas that chair could. But this confidence and belief, like I said, is something we do every single day. You know, we believe and have confidence in the things people say. So, no, your bum doesn't look big in that. Yes, yes, your biceps do look massive, right? Stella says both of those things to me every single day. Hallelujah. Yeah, there are no good men. The church is on the decline. God doesn't exist. And we believe all these things. Obviously, all lies. My bum is massive and my biceps are tiny, but that's just the reality. And we put confidence in the existence of things, like honest politicians, don't we? And fair parking wardens. You know, we were out on the streets in Hartlepool the other week, me and Lowry, and we tried stopping this parking warden just to love him and talk to him. And he was just so off, wasn't he? He must get so much abuse all the time. He was just... Oh, no, I'll give you my name. See you later. I said, we just want to talk to you, mate, and pray with you. No, he's gone. So I love parking waters when you see them. We believe and have confidence in the existence of things like the other sock. Who's got piles of odd socks at home? Anyway, is that just me? I mean, I've got like 20 odd socks. Stella says to me, you need to put them in pairs. I said, I do. You know, where do they go? I don't know. But you've got to have the confidence they're still there. So, we also have confidence in the reality of things, in the reality of love, in the reality of the reliability of things like bus drivers, and the reliability of the emergency services, and the reliability often of other people. You know, we all believe. We all have this ability to believe because we get it from God. Every single human being has been born with a gift of God. It's called the gift of faith. God gives it to every single one of us. And it's exercised all the time. It's exercised when you go to a restaurant and you eat some food that someone else has cooked that you haven't seen. It's exercised when you walk down an aisle with somebody and you get married. It's exercised when you get on a bus and you trust a man, or you get on a plane and you trust a person to get you from A to B without actually killing you. It's exercised all of the time. We exercise this gift without even thinking about it. I mean, the amount of things that could go wrong at any given moment in our day when we consciously put our lives and everything else in a trust of someone else's hand without even thinking about it. This is exercising our gift of faith. So what is belief? What is faith? It's having the confidence in the truth of something, the existence of something, and the reliability of something. Which brings me to the second point, which is basically this. What should we believe? Well, what I want to say is what we shouldn't believe, really. We shouldn't believe everything we hear. I mean, our mums all told us that, didn't they, as we grew up? Don't believe everything you hear. So we shouldn't believe everything we hear. You also shouldn't believe everything you read. I remember back on Live 8, whatever it was called the last time they did it, Bob Geldof was getting all the accolades and all the highlights and all the headlines and all these other things. It was all about Big Bob. Big Bob, who did Live Aid 86, which was the first record I bought for my mum. But he did it all. He got all this stuff. But you know, the reality was, just before that, other things were going on in Bob Geldof's life. But when the day come for this thing, he got all of this attention. All the front page, all the second page, all the news. And you were reading all that, what Bob had done. But what people missed was about 3 pages in, when the GA Summit Conference was happening in Scotland. And there was a little tiny picture of all these Christians and Muslims and faith people who were gathering outside this place where it was meeting. Not in the big park having a party. They were there petitioning these governments for the sake of these nations. These people who had been there since 1986. Living there, breathing there, dying there, building there, all of the other time. So what we read was what we were supposed to see. But what we didn't see was the real truth. That actually, when all the lights have gone off and everyone else has gone home, and Bob's gone home and he's richer again or whatever else, that all these people who didn't get the limelight, they'll be the ones getting back on a plane, going back to a nation to do the things that other people aren't doing. So we can't believe everything we read. We also can't believe everything we see. You know, did you know that most of the media in the Western world, 95% of that media is controlled by 5% of the companies. That means 5% of the companies control what we see, what we hear, what's in the magazines, all of it. So if they all of a sudden want to show, you know, make something popular, they'll just push it through. You watch any TV program or film and all of a sudden you'll see Nikon cameras or little things and little bits of advertising all over the place. Things are photoshopped all the time. You go to McDonald's, don't you? You see the McDonald's Big Mac. And it's massive, isn't it? And it's awesome. And it looks perfect. Then you get home and you open the box and this blancmange is just in your box, isn't it? There's hardly any lettuce. The cream just blobbed on. It's just a mess. It's not the truth. It's all photoshopped. You can't believe, really, often, what you see. You know, if it's possible, really, for us to be so deceived, for us not to be able to believe, really, what the world presents to us as truth, and even if what we believe can be changed before our eyes, like that paramedic did to me, then we should really start to question what we're told, is what I think, after thinking of this talk. We should question, really, what we're told is right, and truth, and everything else. You know, if we can believe something, if we can trust something, and if we're wrong, it doesn't matter. Having your Big Mac, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It's just going to go in anyway, isn't it? And then you'll be hungry 5 minutes later, because that's the way it is. But it doesn't really matter in these big things, little things. But if we can get that wrong, then surely we should really make sure that we don't get it wrong when it really does matter. So we shouldn't get it wrong, for instance, when it's going to impact our eternal life, when it's going to impact our life on this planet, how we live it, how it's going to be. We can't afford to get that wrong. In that situation, we have to believe in the right thing. So the reality is then, is what should we believe? Well, quite simply, we should believe the truth. We should believe that God's real, because he is. You know, these scientists spent millions of pounds, and I'm not a quantum anything. This is just my humble, uneducated opinion, okay? But they built this massive machine to go right back to the beginning of time so they understood it, to recreate the Big Bang, where this God particle existed. Where did it come from? So they spun this thing round, however thousands of miles an hour, and then they had this other little thing, which I presume was in this little relay thing, and then they were going to release it at a certain point. I'm writing this, correct me if I'm wrong, okay? And then these things were going to collide. And as it collided, this explosion thing was going to happen. They're going to analyze all that data in that moment. That would give them this stuff. Am I right in what I just said there, yeah? Is that right? Now, here's my thought, okay? Who pressed the button? Who released the particle? Somebody had to say, let it go, didn't he? But for me, that's someone's God. I don't care what you believe. But what I do believe is this. God pressed the button. It's God who created everything. See, in the beginning, God created this world, this universe, and everything absolutely perfect. He created his family, his children, and everything. It was awesome. God was this absolutely phenomenal dad, like the best mum and dad you've ever seen. He doted on his children. He loved them. He was passionate about them. He provided everything for them. Then separation happened, just like a divorce. And this dad lost contact with his children. His children were lied to and deceived. And they turned their backs on this dad. And they spent all their lives not really knowing who he was anymore, not understanding about his love and his mercy and who he truly was, because his true figure had been hidden. And all of a sudden, it started masking who they really were, because they had no connection to their dad. But in his love and his mercy, God then decided to send a promise to his kids through a man called Abraham, that one day all the people of the earth are going to be blessed through you. I'm going to reconcile the whole earth back to myself through you, through some in your lineage. And then years and years later, Jesus is born. All these prophecies that have been said happen. These angels appear and they said, we bring you good news, good tidings, great joy. Unto you is born Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. This man grows up. At 30 odd years of age, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He starts going about telling people God's kingdom's here. Things don't have to be that way. This isn't who you're meant to be. God loves you. He's for you. Just like he just said at a communion, Conrad, he's for you. And he started saving them and healing them. And then, as we know, he went to the cross and he died. And then he rose again. But God fulfilled the promise in sending his son. And when Jesus rose again, he then sent the Holy Spirit, which I just read about. And in doing so, in that moment, he broke the boundaries. You see, up until that point, the only people who had this relationship with God was the Jews. It was the Israelites. Everyone else was out. But the moment this happened, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh to all people. And in that moment, man, woman, child, all of them could stop trying to work their way up to heaven and work their way up to God, because all of a sudden it changed. And God worked his way down to them. Heaven worked its way down to them. All of a sudden it wasn't about us getting up there. It's about us coming into us. See, the Holy Spirit coming in us and through us meant God came and lived in man. And because of that process, all the people, all the families of the earth can be blessed. You know, we have to believe that God's real, because it's the truth. He did all of that to set us free, to bring us back together, to reconcile us back to that. This is why it's good news. It's good news that God's real and God loves us. God, we thank you that you come to reconcile us and give us a relationship back with you. We thank you, Lord, we're blessed and you did what you promised. And I want to say to you tonight, every single soul in this room, not your mental intellect, but your soul, your conscience, and every other part of you, maybe you need to be reconciled to God, to this Father who loves you. The second thing we should believe I'm trying to work out what I've written here. I'm serious. Oh yeah, that's it. Okay. We need to believe our true state of our actual nature. Our actual true state as human beings on this earth. You know, Jesus said that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And since the fall, which I mentioned, since God lost his children also lost their God, their dad. And we now walk around aimlessly, like someone who's lost their car keys or their car, or like a little child who's lost their parents, or like someone who's lost and the sat-nav's gone wonky and you don't know where you are. We aimlessly walk about this planet, trying to get home. But the reality is we don't know what the destination is. You see, we don't know we've got this destination fixed within us, which takes us to God. We don't know that. So we wander all over the place, trying to go to all these different things, basically trying to find peace, but we're just lost. And we need saving. And we need to get home. You know, we need saving from our past. We need saving from our pain. We need saving from our mistakes and our worries, our anxieties, our grief. We need saving from all the mistakes we make in life. We need saving from our sin and consequences and all these different things. Ultimately, we need saving from ourselves. That's who we need saving from, because we're our own worst enemy. We need saving from the effects of this world. We need saving from the consequence of the fall, where death came into its world and all the forms of death that came with it, sickness, disease, misery, the fear of death, the fear of dying, ultimately because we have the fear of judgment. We need to be saved from all of it. All this stuff, all the things of life, literally just end up on top of every single one of us. And to be quite honest, they just hide who we truly are. You know, I was saying to my wife yesterday, my mother, without heroin, was a good mother. With heroin, not so good. But when Jesus came and died for the sins of the world, when he came and died for me, you know, I was thinking, what happens if I wouldn't have accepted him and I died? What would he say to me? Maybe he'd say to me, listen, son, you didn't know me, but I want to tell you something. You could have been forgiven. You could have had a good life with me. I could have come and lived inside you and given you a great life on this earth. Peace, joy, all those things. Good tidings, great joy. And you could have been with me forever in eternity. But you know what? You missed that opportunity. So now maybe you need to go through some kind of judgment and all that stuff to be with me and all that. But the reality is, I know the real you. I know without the fall, without all that stuff, you'd never have done those things you did. I think maybe that's the reason why Jesus was so full of mercy. Maybe he knows and God knows that without the fall, none of us would do the things we did. None of us would act the way we act. None of us would do any of that stuff. See, all this stuff, the life, the mess, the misery, all of it masks who we truly are. I remember in the 80s when my mum was in prison, I watched Antiques Roadshow and this woman took this painting on there. It was just a normal painting. But as this guy who knew what he was looking at looked at the painting, he said, oh, you know, can I just take this away? He took it away. And he came back, and you know, a couple of hours later, but at the end of the show, he said, listen, this painting, there's no worth in it whatsoever. But I want to tell you something. It's covering something that has got worth. Can we have your permission to take it off? So they did. And they took this top layer off, and it revealed this absolute masterpiece underneath. You see, this masterpiece was always there. It was just hidden by the rubbish. And that's the same for every single one of us. Jesus is a painter. And he paints your picture every single day anew. Every day anew. The marks, the mess. And he wipes it clean and he starts again. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. You're a masterpiece. And we need saving from all the mess. And lastly, we need to believe that Jesus is Lord. You know, I remember having a vision in prison of being in this castle. And I was stood on this castle wall. And as I looked behind me, it was just tranquil. It was all nice and there was, you know, peace and it was wealth and food and all the good stuff. It was awesome. But as I looked over the wall, there was just misery, death, murder, rape, all sorts going on. There was like an old mid-century village, mud and mire and darkness and fear. And as I stood on this wall, I could see individual people. And my heart was going out to them, crying out to them. They need saving, they need rescuing. But I was stuck in this wall. I couldn't move, but I knew they needed saving. And then I realized there was a gate. And as I got to the gate, Jesus was stood at the gate. And Jesus stood at the gate letting people in from out there. And so I said, can I go out? And he said, yeah, go out. And so when I went out, I knew I went out in victory and power. Not for long, not for ages, but I went out with a purpose. And I grabbed one person. Come on, you can come with me. You can be safe and free. And I took them back. And they got to that gate, and Jesus, can I come in? Yes, come in. And the moment they walked through that gate, they had new clothes, brand new, just like I was, and stood on the wall watching like I did. And we went back out, and we did it again, and again, and again. You know, Jesus is Lord. And when you come to Jesus, you have to bring absolutely everything you are to him. You don't come to him with anything. You don't come with rewards and accolades and all that stuff. You come to Jesus just as you are. But you're willing to walk through that door and leave it all behind. To surrender everything of what you are and give it all up. Because it's all worthless. And so that's what you do. You come to him that way. You come really, really to pass from death to life. You know, last week, what's your name? Sorry, again. Michelle. Michelle was out the front with her friend, this young man. And as I came back from dropping the kids off, he looked in the window, he said, oh, it's not for me that, and he walked off. You can ask her at the end if this is true. She'll confirm it to you. And so I stopped her because I've got concern for her. She's been a part of us for months, and she's a young lady. And actually, out of love for her, I stopped her. What are you doing? What's going on? How are you? Are you happy? What's happening in your life? And then I spoke, you know, who's this? And then I started speaking to him. And then I was talking to him, how are you doing? How's life? How's you going? Are you working? No, I'm not working. Why not? Because I've got my bad back. So I said to him, well, do you want to be healed of that bad back? And he said, yeah. So we prayed for him, didn't we? And nothing happened. So we prayed again, didn't we? And he got a tiny bit better. So we prayed again. We prayed about four times. And then the pain went. And I said to him, you know what God's done for your back? He can do for your heart. He can do for your mind. He can do for your life. God loves you. Listen, you might not have time for God, but he's got time for you. So when you go home tonight, and I was thinking of Stuart when I said this, when you go home tonight and you sat in your bed, you have a little think about what's happened and what God wants to do for you. And maybe ask God if he's real to show you and all that and come into your life. I came in here, mentioned to Stu what had just gone on, and when I would turn around to go at the back, he was sat there with Michelle. At the end of that meeting, I talked to him and said, listen, you know, in the mid-meeting, I want you to have a think about what you want to do with your life. Explain what communion was. God wants to be a part of your life, but you have to give it up for God. I'm going to ask you a question at the end, but I want you to think about it. If you want God to come in your life and be a part of you and come into you at the end of last year. And so I did at the end. I asked him, what do you want to do? He said, I want to ask God my life. So before I prayed with him, I said, look, just so you know, when you do this, you're giving everything up for God. You don't keep anything. You're surrendering everything. Now, some of it, he might give you back. But some of it, he might not. And so he said, yeah. And he prayed. And he gave it all to God. So you know what? That's exactly what we have to do. Jesus is Savior. He came to save that which was lost. But he's also ruler. He's Lord. And that's what Lord means. He's our ruler. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's a name above every other name. And when we believe that he is Lord, he is ruler, we will willingly come before him and bow our knee and surrender our whole lives to him. Because he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. You know that song, don't you? Okay, I'm not singing it. Rebecca can in a minute. For to you are all things. Is that right? And from you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. So give everything for Jesus. Because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. You know, in the Moravian Christians, a famous story, when they realized they were slaves, they asked, could they go and witness to him? The slave master said no, and so they sold themselves into slavery. And the price they got for their lives, they paid for their fare to get on a boat to go to this nation to live with slaves and die with them. And when all the families were at the edge of that bay, wondering why they're doing it, why they're doing it, why they're doing it, these Moravians shouted back across the bay, which is the call of their whole church, or used to be, you know, what was it again? Sorry. May the Lamb who was slain receive the rewards of his sufferings. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, we give it him all. So guys, to finish, quite simply, why should we believe? Well, because the Bible tells us so. There's different scriptures that tell us to believe, simply believe. Believe you and all of your household and you'll be saved. That all those who come to God must believe who he is and who his son is. And they're given the right to be children of God. All I want to say to every single one of you in this room, every single soul, every single heart, every single mind, is what Jesus said. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Just believe. God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you, protect you, preserve you. To heal you, to do you well, and to make you whole. Because that's what saved means. This word sozoed. To do it all. When we went in Thornaby, and if I've said this story and you've heard it before, it's just because it's a good recent one for me. We went into a house where a man had built an extension for his wife because she was bedridden, because she'd nearly died 3 months before. She had an oxygen mask on her bedstead. It was full of morphine. It was a morphine mask. She had bandages, and in her firewall there was boxes. I'm not joking you up to about this high of medication, bandage, all kinds of stuff. She was in bed. She had the cover up to her face, and the husband let us in, and they were telling us the kids would prod her on a night to make sure she was still alive. She'd wake up and her husband was prodding her. They'd had the last rites at her bedstead. She'd had this operation, and they hadn't stitched her inside, and all her abdomen had gone into the womb and poisoned her. And I said to her, what's your pain level like? 1 to 10, she said 11. So me and Margaret and Hillary, we prayed with her. And afterwards I said, how's the pain? She said, oh, it just feels a bit like jelly. I said, okay. So we talked to her for a little bit, explained to her, look, because she's a Muslim woman, this is Jesus, not the Jesus you read about in the Quran, but Jesus Christ, who I believe as a Christian man, who's Lord of Lord and King of Kings, Savior, Healer, all of it. He's the one who's got authority. And we prayed for the whole house. Bless them. Bless the husband. Bless the family. You know, the Bible says, where there's a man of peace, let your peace rest. And this was a man of peace. So I prayed for him to have all of his man stuff back so he could freely go to work without worry and stress. And she could become a mum again, which is all she wanted. She just wanted to cook tea. She wanted to just be a wife. Her whole identity had been robbed, and the devastation of this sickness and the fear of death and everything had wrecked this house. And so we prayed, God bless her. Get her up. Let her be a mum. And that night, she was out of bed in a dress with her makeup done in the kitchen cooking tea. When I went round 2 days later, all of her medication wall was gone. She had a couple of boxes she was giving back to the doctor, and a morphine mask was off the sideboard. This woman was miraculously 100% healed. Now that is exactly what sozo means. That's exactly what God wants to do for every single one of us. Every single life. If we'll let him. If we'll surrender. If we'll do it to him. That's why we should believe. But also, to finish, because we can trust him. We can have confidence in the truth of who he is. The truth of what this says. We can have confidence in the truth of what he does and what he says. And all this, that he comes and seeks and saves the lost. I was lost. I was a washed up bum in a prison cell, womanizer, failure, misery, no good at anything. Failed at everything. There's no point glorifying who you were. You're just a bum who's surviving every day. And people can say I'm an ex-gang this and all that. It's all rubbish. You're just a nobody trying to live life and do the best you can. There's no accolades in past stories. The best testimony that ever existed was Jesus' testimony. Everything else is naff. I was a criminal. So what? Poor you. It's irrelevant. What was relevant was I was a mess and he saved me. That's the truth of that word, that he seeks and saves the lost. We can also put confidence in his, what's the other word? His existence, because of what we see in the billions of Christians, people around this world, in the existence, because all the difference we see, all the things we see, all the things we hear. We can put confidence in existence because when we reach out and touch people, they get healed. When we pray for people, things happen. When you see blessing and all that stuff coming into life. Now, I'm not saying it happens all the time. We've lost babies. I know the reality of life. But I know the existence of God. Because hand over fist, time after time, he's always there. He always proves he's real. And just like the wind, you can't see it. You can't capture it. But you see its effects. How it affects everything wherever it goes. God's the same. And you know what? You can see its effects on me. I'm just a living piece of evidence that there's power in the name of Jesus that is alive, that he's risen from the dead, that he's real. And lastly, to finish, we can put confidence in the reliability of him. Jesus, who sticks closer than a brother, who said, even if your mum and dad forsake you, I never will. I'll never leave you. I'll always be there for you. Even to the end of the age, Jesus never, ever fails. You know, when my brother died, he'd been saved 3 months. I went home. I was pretty devastated. I remember putting this CD on. It was the cheesiest CD Christian thing I'd ever heard in my life. Graham gave it me in prison years ago. And I never played it. It was just so naff. But I remember putting it on and hearing these cheesy Christian tracks. And I'll tell you something. It spoke to me. And it showed me something. That I tell you what, it's in the midst of death when Jesus Christ stands alone in any other God on this planet. You see, it's in death when Jesus comes to his own. And I knew that in that moment. We can trust him. We can believe in him because he loves us. So all I want to ask you is a very simple question, and it's this. What must you do to be saved, to be sozoed, to be made whole, to be reconciled, to have a relationship with God? It's very simple. You just repent. You believe. And you will be saved. You and all of your household. As I said at the beginning, believing is seeing. So I want to ask you a question. Oh, just stand to your feet for me a moment, please. I'm sorry I've gone on a bit long tonight. I want to ask you a question, okay? Is there anyone in this room right now, as I've been speaking, and there's a lot of people who say they're Christians and all that stuff, but off the back of what I've just shared, is there anyone in this room that believes that God is real, that Jesus is Son, Jesus is Lord, he raised him from the dead? If you believe that, and you've never said I believe it before, I want you to put your hand in the air for me, okay? If you believe in God, well done. Well done. Now, if you want to repent of the way you see God and believe in God, I want you to keep your hand in the air. Not for me, but for the Lord. Because then it says, if you believe and you confess with your mouth, then you're saved. So if that's you and you want to repent, you want to change your feelings towards God, then don't be afraid, don't fear, then you put your hand in the air. Who's that? Anyone? Well done. Well done. Is there any more? Do you understand what I'm asking you? If you want God right now to come and invade your heart and your life and change you and save you and make you whole, this is what I'm asking you. Who wants that? Lift up your hand. Well done. Well done. Well done. All of you, well done. Well, God, we thank you. Thank you, Father. So we just pray right now, guys. Open your hearts, open your minds. You've just lifted up your hands. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. And pray this with me, please, all of you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you right now for filling every person with your Holy Spirit and changing them from the inside out. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm going to hand it to Stu now, but if we do pray for the sick, I just want to say this. I was parked outside a tire exchange earlier on. Let me just start with this. We prayed for Malcolm last week and our brother to be free from these crutches. Am I bothered that they're not free from them? Can I tell you? I am only in one way. I'm angry that they're not. But I believe they still can be. It doesn't affect me. We still pray. I was at a tire exchange thing, and you know what I saw? People, when the tires are eroded, they go and get new ones. So when we pray for the sick, I want to just pray for you to get a new something. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.